Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Other Side. I'm Mo Ray, and there is a whole lot to talk about, and there's a lot of clips I want to play today. And there's, by the way, hello to Joe Daniel.
Hola.
All right, and Joe's in the house, and he's making everything work well. Hopefully it all works well today, but when you're dealing with video clips and such, you never know. But I think there's a lot of disturbing news out there, and I'm just going to get right to it. I think the most disturbing thing was the President of the United States tweeted today that the election might have to be delayed. Well, there's a couple of things there. Once again, I don't know if this is a distraction or if the president is showing his usual disrespect for the Constitution, because he can't make that call. But it's explained clearly in this article. Well, it's not an article. It is a segment from MSNBC explaining what the president is trying to do.
President Trump trying to distract us from devastating GDP numbers, from devastating coronavirus numbers, and instead firing off a new tweet that suggests delaying the November presidential election. But here's the thing. The president of the United States doesn't have that power. Let's go right to the White House and Peter Alexander. Peter, what is going on?
Yeah, so whether or not this was intended to distract from the GDP news or not that had come out only 15 minutes earlier than the tweet, this Trump tweet immediately sounded alarms. The president suggesting the election should be postponed for COVID-19, basically leaving him in office for an indefinite period of time. If you haven't seen it yet, I'll read it for you. President Trump writes this morning, with universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is not good, he says, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote, with a series of question marks. Now, again, Steph, just to hit this home, to be very clear, the president cannot do that. The Constitution is unambiguous about this, that Congress, not a president who may have their own self-interest in mind, gets to decide when the leader of the United States is elected. The states have the authority to delay their primary elections, but the Constitution gives Congress the authority to set the general election date. And to his other point, there is no evidence, of course, of widespread voter fraud through mail-in voting, even in states with all mail-in votes. Of course, none of this happens in a vacuum. We have seen the poll numbers, the president trailing nationally by double digits, including in some swing states. And it appears that the president's effort to do this also may be giving the Democrats the advantage. Steph, one final thought, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, the liberal candidate there, the mail-in votes, they won by 10 points, 10 percentage points better than they did on election day itself when people voted in person. Stephanie?
Well, you know, that should be disturbing to any American. But, of course, the Constitution states clearly that that's a power that only Congress has. But I don't know why the president is saying this. If it, as they say, is this a distraction or is he serious about this? Is he trying to take a page from the Vladimir Putin book, where he's president for life? But, of course, that's not going to happen in this country. We're not going to let this happen. And we are a nation of laws, and one of those laws limits the president to two terms. Well, he's in his first term. Let's hope he doesn't get a second term. But the bottom line is the parameters of that term are clearly defined by the Constitution. So he can't do that. Even if there was some national emergency or whatever, you had, even during wartime, World War II, Vietnam, and all that, you had elections. And even during that terrible pandemic of 1918, they had elections. So this is nonsense from a guy who's full of nonsense. By the way, the number here is 330-595-1600. Want to hear what you have to say about this? This and a lot of things. Like I said, very busy news day. A lot of crazy things going on. Another thing, the other day, and they've already taken the clip down again. I played the clip. It should still be visible on my previous it's not a broadcast. It's a live stream. I'm so used to broadcasting, though. But on the previous program, I played the clip of the lunatic doctor who's claiming that there is a cure for COVID-19, when in fact there is not, when in fact this lady, who the president seems to think was very credible, is pretty incredible in some of her conspiratorial beliefs. And the president was asked about this, about him retweeting, and by the way, he retweeted her nonsense. And his son also retweeted the totally debunked theory that somehow hydroxychloroquine can cure COVID-19. And if you take it for prophylactic purposes, it can actually prevent you catching it. None of that is true. And when the president was asked about it, by the way, notice this profile in Courage. He doesn't really vigorously defend it. And then, well, see for yourself.
That you retweeted last night said that masks don't work and there is a cure for COVID-19, both of which health experts say is not true. She's also made videos saying that doctors make medicine using DNA from aliens and that they're trying to create a vaccine to make you immune from becoming religious.
Well, maybe it's the same, maybe it's not, but I can tell you this. She was on air along with many other doctors. They were big fans of hydroxychloroquine. And I thought she was very impressive in the sense that from where she came, I don't know which country she comes from, but she said that she's had tremendous success with hundreds of different patients. And I thought her voice was an important voice, but I know nothing about her.
Masks don't work. Last week you said masks. Last week, well, real quick.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Thank
you. You walk away. And that's what happened there. By the way, take a look at some of the comments. And if you'd like to comment by phone, the number once again is 330-595-1600. Sarah says, can't wait to hear what Mo says about this election crap. Well, I think you hear what I say. It is that. It is crap. He doesn't have a leg to stand on. And I just find it disturbing to have a sitting president of the United States talking like some third world dictator. He cannot postpone this election. So I don't know what his purpose is for tweeting that, but maybe the MSNBC report was correct. This is merely another distraction. Also, Dave says he wants to hear some common sense. Well, I'll do my best, sir. And Randy says, hold on. Where did that come from? Okay. Randy says, well, he's watching too. And I agree with you, Sarah. That's our government, of the people, for the people, by the people. And Tom Masterson says, shut up. And I say, hey, back at you, pal. And let's see. And you're going to enjoy the rest of the program if you stick around. I hope you do, because we tell the truth here. We don't, you know, if you're looking for somebody to put their lips firmly on this guy's what's the word I'm looking for? Well, if you're looking for somebody to put their lips on his big butt, this is not the show for you, sir. But reading opinions, he may still win because of his base. I do understand that. That is possible. Like I said, that's why I tell people you should, you know, it is not a foregone conclusion because you think this guy's a nut because his numbers are down big time. Please, please, please do not let up. Vote. Get your friends registered to vote. I believe the polls this time around. And not only that, like I said, the good thing about it is even if he does win, there's a very, very good chance that the Democrats will take the Senate. Multiple Republicans are behind in their races. In fact, Lindsey Graham, of all people, is behind because I don't think his constituents recognize him anymore. The guy who once called Donald Trump a kook is now his golfing buddy. I don't know what happened to him. As I've said many times, I think Lindsey Graham's soul died with his friend John McCain. But let's see. It blows my mind, Dave says, that anyone at all still supports this joke of a leader. Well, sir, they do. His base is solid, very solid. But I still think that there are enough, you know, when you look at unprecedented things that are taking place, when you look at the fact that John Kasich, the former Republican governor of Ohio, is going to speak at the Democratic convention, when you look at the fact that numerous Republican groups like Republican Voters Against Trump, the Lincoln Project, and others are coming out for Joe Biden because they know this president is a danger just because of the opening statement we made here. Here's the president of the United States suggesting that we fiddle with the elections on his whim. Well, thank goodness that the founders don't give him that power. And you people, you know, it makes me really angry that some of you so-called patriots who are always citing the Constitution don't seem to get past the Second Amendment. If you really understood the Constitution, you'd understand that this president has breached the Constitution on many levels. I won't be touching on the Barr testimony so much today, Attorney General Barr, but certainly the pardoning of Roger Stone was highly questionable. A lot of things this guy has done. He bends the rules, and in some cases he even breaks them and seems to get away from them. The unseemly situation where he was posing with the Goya products because Goya is being boycotted because the CEO of Goya came out for the president, saying that America was blessed to have him as president. And the boycott seems to be going pretty well, actually. They are suffering a little damage. But let's see what else is going on. Let's get away from... Wait a minute, I'll read a couple more comments, and then we're moving on to the next thing. Okay. Well, I guess that is it. Okay. Let's see. Up next, the other day I played a clip by a guy named Charlie Kirk, and Charlie Kirk is with a... Charlie Kirk is with a group called Turning Point USA. And Charlie Kirk tried to make all kinds of excuses why you shouldn't... I won't play the whole thing again, but I'm trying to give you a flavor for what Charlie Kirk is about. And that plays into a story that broke today. So let's see what Charlie says about wearing masks.
Do not force me to wear a mask. It's that simple. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. The only time I comply is on the airlines, because I actually need to fly the airlines to be able to do my job and travel the country so I can deliver truth to you and make an income and grow Turning Point USA. So that's the fight I do not fight. But every single time I go into one of these grocery stores, where's your mask? I say, well, first of all, the science around masks is very questionable. Very questionable. In fact, some people, some doctors think that masks actually make you sicker and have you less likely to be able to get oxygen and more likely to infect yourself and less likely to be able to fight the virus and actually more likely to be able to die sooner. A lot of people believe that. I've met many doctors that hold that view. Secondly, we have a huge civil liberty issue here. Why do you have the authority to tell me what I can and cannot do with my body? I thought it was my body, my choice. I thought that was the entire thought process as to why we are wrongly able to terminate a million children in the womb every single year. And so I just don't like being told what to do generally by the federal government. I'm not a type of person who plays well when the government comes in and starts to say you must put this on your face.
Hello. Yes. And the thing is, here's the point with what he said there. There's, I don't know where he gets the idea that a lot of people say masks don't work because they do. And I hate to keep repeating the point, but I wish all these people that keep saying that, next time you go in the hospital for surgery, please have your surgical team remove their masks since it's all a bunch of baloney. I'm so sick of these people, these anti-science, these anti-intellectual people who are out there, and it's starting to take its toll. One thing, and the point I brought up there with Charlie, he is the co-founder of an organization, as I said, called Turning Point USA. Sadly, the other co-founder is a guy named Bill Montgomery. Now, he was an older guy, but guess what? He didn't like wearing masks either. And Bill Montgomery passed away 2 days ago, complications of COVID-19. Oh, gee whiz, I'm shocked. So I don't know if Charlie's going to rethink his thinking, but he's lost somebody very close to him. Someone else very close to him, a so-called citizen journalist, a guy named Vic Mangino. Pardon me, that's Maggio. That is Vic Maggio. Had a tribute to Bill Montgomery, and he goes on to explain some of the things that Bill Montgomery believed. And you know what? I was only going to play part of this, but there's an interesting little thing at the end. So, Joe, I want you to play this in its entirety.
Okay.
And let's do that.
I am sad to report Bill Montgomery passed away at age 80 on July 28th, 2020. From complications from COVID-19. Bill was a unique personality, to say the least. Throughout his life, he was involved in publishing, the restaurant business, he was a business development consultant, and many other things. I met Bill outside a theater, and I interviewed him. And he wanted Charlie Kirk to meet me, and he went and got him. And this was the start of our 7.5 year journey that ended today. In 2012, Charlie and Bill founded Turning Point USA. I watched Bill and Charlie build Turning Point USA into the massive organization it is today. I really got to know Bill and Charlie through multiple trips I took with them over the years. And I have to say, they were some of the best times. Bill was a conservative through and through, and he wore it as a badge of honor. And he was a visionary of sorts. He had a knack for spotting people he felt had unique qualities they didn't know they had. And he was able to expand those qualities. And then he made them part of the movement, and then presented them with the monumental task of making a difference in the mad world we live in today. I am honored to have been one of those people. Bill had a couple of heartfelt projects. One was to get Charlie elected president of the United States one day, and the other was to turn Illinois red and return the power to the people. And sadly, he will never see either of these things happen. Bill was there for me in 2013 when my 7-year-old granddaughter passed away. It was the most tragic and sad time of my life. Thanks, Bill. He was with me during my 6 years in hell on the bloody streets of Chicago, covering death and extreme violence. And when I thought I couldn't take it anymore, he pushed me forward. He said it was important. Don't quit. He cared about what was happening to the people of Chicago. I think what I'm going to miss the most about Bill was our long daily talks. He always made time for me and my concerns about the issues of the day. He always wanted to know what I thought, and he always gave me goals and influenced a lot of what I was doing on the streets of Chicago. And I want to say one last thing to you, Mr. Montgomery. You believed in me and what I was doing when nobody else did. Thanks, Bill. Bill leaves behind his wife, Edie, a daughter, and a son. Rest in peace, my dear friend.
Good. And, yeah, that is so cause and effect, you know. You have the younger person, Charlie Kirk, who is preaching that masks don't work. You have the older guy who must have believed much the same. And anyway, thanks. That was very very disorienting. So the thing is, though, so here you have Charlie Kirk preaching that masks don't work, and then ironically, the co-founder of his organization dies because he didn't want to wear a mask either. And big breaking news today, and I'm so afraid that when you push that button, you're going to go to a commercial, but we'll see what happens. There was another skeptic out there, a person who had survived cancer, and so his immune system was compromised. But Herman Cain went to Donald Trump's Tulsa rally back in June, and within a few days he had tested positive for COVID-19. Herman Cain, in case you don't remember, was a presidential candidate at one time, a Republican.
As a young girl, I was always comparing myself to my sisters.
I can't believe that. Anyway, I know what you're telling me, Joe, but I hear it. I'm sorry, this is a work in progress, but forgive me for that. Anyway, the thing was, that really blows my mind. Hey, don't worry. I'm talking myself down here. Okay, the thing though, Herman Cain, as I said, he put himself out there, and I just can't do this right now. Hold on. What? All right, are we good?
You're good.
Okay. I sorry. There's something different today. And it's all right, Joe.
Good?
Yeah, I'm just, I can't think and talk and hear this other talking at the same time. It's like, anyway, all right, so I'm trying to bring some stability back. Forgive me, folks. Different technical issues today. But what I was saying was Herman Cain was, even up till the end, he was preaching against, I won't say he was a total mask skeptic, but he didn't wear a mask to that rally. And he was, he seemed to think that the whole thing was being overblown. And sadly, he lost his battle with COVID-19. And that was reported on MSNBC, among other networks, this morning. And let's take a look at that.
That is according to a statement posted on his website, which says that Cain was in a high-risk group because of his history with cancer. He had tested positive more than a week after attending President Trump's Tulsa rally back in June. While there's no way to pinpoint exactly where he contracted the virus, he posted a photo of himself with others at the event, which showed him also without a mask. For more on the death of Herman Cain, I am joined on the phone by NBC News' Kelly O'Donnell, who covered that rally that day. Kelly, let me get your initial thoughts about this tragic news of the passing of Herman Cain. Kelly, are you able to hear me?
Okay. Hi, Eamon. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Kelly, good to hear you. Okay, so Kelly, let me just pick up on what I was asking you there. We were laying the context of the passing of Herman Cain. Obviously, you covered that rally in Tulsa. We don't know for a fact where he may have contracted that virus, but just put in context for us his tragic death.
Herman Cain is someone who has been so prominent in the business and political world over many years, and it is certainly a terrible loss for his family and his staff. And of course, it stands out that he has been a friend to the president and was in attendance and was photographed at the Tulsa rally, which was the last rally the president held and one that was happening in what was at that time a COVID hotspot. Herman Cain was photographed not wearing a mask, sitting in close proximity to others. Of course, we don't have an ability to draw a line from that event to his diagnosis. That's just some of the background of what has happened here. He had been hospitalized since early July, and there were periodic updates from his team, and there were some signs of hopefulness. But as they reported his passing at age 74 today, they described the fact that they just were not able to get him past that point, even though only days ago they write that he had some indications of being able to recover. That, I guess, is the nature of how grievous this sort of illness can be. And he was largely in good condition, they say, other than that, not experiencing a lot of other health problems. But the impact he made as a CEO of Godfather's Pizza, as a 2012 presidential candidate, a former chairman of the Kansas City Federal Reserve Board, he had a big impact in his business life and his political life, and was a friend of the president, and of course had a more traditional political Republican experience before the era of Trump. Running in 2012, he might not have been a precursor to the Trump era, but he became famous for something known as 999, his idea for a new tax level that would set the rate at 9% if you were an individual or a business and so forth. And that became one of the calling cards of his 2012 presidential campaign. And there was a period, Eamon, when he was the front runner of that race, when it was a crowded field early on. So his passing today comes as a bit of a shock because while we know this disease can be so absolutely serious, we had gotten some indications from his staff as they were tweeting some updates that he was making progress. We had not heard of this later turn, and they write about the fact that they didn't feel that there was necessity to update everyone as things grew more serious. So the loss of Herman Cain is a shock.
Right.
One question it will raise is, you know, will it have an impact on the president? Is this something that he will speak about because they were friends? And certainly Herman Cain had advocated for the president on many occasions.
So there you have it. And what I do want to explain, and I'll get out of apology mode. There was a some of these clips have ads on them, and we try to get around the ads. And what we were doing, you couldn't hear it, but what I was hearing was the Joe trying to get past the ad. So it's hard to think when there's somebody else talking in your ear.
So much character.
Original.
And that's why I was a little bit off kilter. But, you know, may he rest in peace. But interesting that Herman Cain has recently, I've got a tweet from him, as recently as the other day, hold on just a second, he tweeted the following. He says, okay, this was on what day? July. My gosh, he tweeted this just yesterday. He said, our government and our media have incinerated their credibility. So is it any wonder that people are skeptical? Hashtag coronavirus. What he's talking about there is the vaccine. He said he wouldn't want to be the first in line for the vaccine. And sadly, a vaccine wouldn't have helped him. He's obviously too far along. So it appears that, I don't know. Like I said, I think there's a lot of denial out there. I don't understand how you have 150,000 plus deaths and people are still thinking this is some type of scam. You know, I even answered a guy. This person says she even calls herself deplorable, deplorable Leah, and she says, "I've been praying for your full recovery, Mr. Cain, hoping you're feeling better." And it's got the praying hands, a heart, and the American flag. And my response to her was, "Didn't go so well." And there's another guy who says he goes on to call it a conspiracy, and I said, "In case you don't know that." Oh, he called it a hoax. I said, well, that hoax just killed Mr. Cain. Anybody calling this a hoax at this point is a total idiot. I'm not even going to use kid gloves regarding this. We have a very dangerous health crisis in this country, and we still have millions of our fellow citizens who are not taking it seriously, who are risking their lives and your lives by their behavior. I cannot stress this enough, and I know I hammer away at this a lot, but I mean, I am sick and tired of it because, I mean, I even had a situation yesterday with my neighbor. I was walking my dog, and he kind of walked up on me out of nowhere. And usually I have a mask in my pocket, but if I'm not around people, I don't wear a mask. All of a sudden he walks up, and he wants to show me some. He's a self-described hillbilly. I mean, he describes himself that way. He's from the country. Nice guy. I mean, he's a good neighbor to have, but that freaked me out. So he's unmasked, and then he tells me he's not been feeling well. Well, that's good. Now, you're going to get close to me? We've got to start being realistic about this thing. You know, and by the way, I went home immediately. I tried home remedies. I was very careful not to breathe while he was close to me, and then I went home and drank apple cider vinegar.
Good.
You know,
that's a good one.
I was just anything, and I was just trying. I was just trying to get everything out of me. I said, "Man, this what? I don't, you're freaking me out, dude." So, I mean, I'm sorry. I take it seriously, and the people who don't, I don't understand. And I know I always say this, but what if this were the bubonic plague or something along those lines, and Americans had the same attitudes instead of 150,000 plus, we probably have millions of deaths just because of people's own ignorance. It's unbelievable. And it's no surprise that the world doesn't want anything to do with us right now. We don't need to build a wall because Mexico doesn't even want Americans coming down there. It's pretty tragic that we should be the smartest country on the face of the earth. But as Debbie says, the true dumbing down of America, and Debbie also said he paid the ultimate price for listening to Dear Leader. And yes, that's the other thing, the president and his inconsistencies. One minute he's citing science and true guidelines from the CDC. The next minute he is promoting a quack. You know, just because a bunch of people wearing lab jackets doesn't, you know, white lab coats doesn't mean that they are geniuses. It certainly doesn't mean anything to me when the FDA, the CDC, the World Health Organization, and the National Institute of Health all say that hydroxychloroquine is ineffective in treating COVID-19. In fact, in some cases, it can create life-threatening conditions. And in fact, in clinical tests, a couple of dozen people died. So I don't get it. Well, definitely keep me posted. Debbie says she put in an application for the clinical trial. You know, actually, I thought about it for a minute, and I said, nah, I'll let you brave heroes try that one. I mean, once it's settled science and there are no side effects, I'll gladly get the shot. But there are a bunch of people who said they wouldn't get it regardless. And you got the very extreme conspiracy kooks who think that they're trying to put a microchip in you with this vaccine, and somehow Bill Gates is the evil genius behind this. I don't even understand where that came from. It's nonsense. I've used that word a lot today, but man, there sure is a lot of it going on. And then, speaking of people who are skeptics, and this guy's one of my least favorite people in Congress. I was born actually near his district. It's a very conservative, in some ways very backward district in Texas, in East Texas. Louis Gohmert, he tested positive for COVID-19, and here's the story.
To energize supporters in Texas, where the polls are tight. But his trip was overshadowed by COVID. Texas Republican Congressman Louis Gohmert, planning to travel on Air Force One with the president, tweeting that he has tested positive.
I'm asymptomatic, but apparently I have the Wuhan virus.
Gohmert, frequently seen without a mask, even for part of yesterday, today blamed mask wearing without any evidence.
I can't help but wonder if by keeping a mask on and keeping it in place that if I might have put some germs, some of the virus onto the mask and breathed it in.
It all comes as the president is digging in after retweeting a video of doctors Monday promoting the controversial drug hydroxychloroquine and saying social distancing and wearing masks is unnecessary. The doctor at the forefront peddles in conspiracy theories.
He was making a statement about hydroxychloroquine with other doctors that swear by it. They think it's great. So he was not alone.
On MSNBC with Andrea Mitchell, top NIH doctor Anthony Fauci said studies show hydroxychloroquine is not effective at treating COVID.
So when there's a video out there for a bunch of people spouting something that isn't true, the only recourse you have is to be very, very clear in presenting the scientific data that essentially contradicts that.
Joe Biden excoriating the president today.
And President Trump should stop tweeting and start doing something about it, damn it. And stop going on and talking about this crazy woman he talked about last night about, who's an absolute disgrace.
And Kristen joins me now. Kristen, tell us about this new fallout in wake of that congressman testing positive for the virus. What are you hearing?
Well, that's right, Lester. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tonight announcing a mask mandate on the House floor after Gohmert tested positive. At least two lawmakers are planning to self-quarantine, and the attorney general got tested for COVID after appearing at a...
And we're done? Okay, that surprised me. Caught me off guard. Okay, so there you have it. I mean, it's really, a lot of these skeptics are finding out the hard way. This is not a joke. This is a real thing. By the way, something I didn't reference today, although I did do a little tribute to John Lewis the other day. His funeral's taking place. And Richard says, good speeches from three of the former presidents at John Lewis's funeral. Can you imagine if Trump was to speak at the funeral? He would be having a pep rally. Well, actually, the president wasn't invited. And there's probably a little bad blood there because John Lewis, among others, boycotted his State of the Union. So, you know, the president, he remembers who's crossed him. You know, he can't rise above. There was a generic statement put out. You can tell he probably didn't write it, but that's about the end of that. I don't expect him to be there, and most people probably didn't want him there. He does have a way, you know, see, he wasn't invited to the funeral of George H.W. Bush as well. He does try to turn everything into a pep rally, or as I like to call his rallies, ego rallies, because there's so much about him. And the thing is, it's driving him crazy right now. He's down in the polls, and I think those rallies are kind of rejuvenating to him. No matter how bad he looks in the polls, he can stand before thousands of people who are cheering him like he's God's gift to America, when in reality, a lot of people are not. A lot of people are not really on board. And now that he can't, he's probably jonesing like a guy who can't get his fix. He needs that ego boost that comes from those rallies. I don't think there'll be any rallies anytime soon, though. But I also wanted to say something else while a friend of mine, you know, sometimes I can get so deep in my own head and my own way of looking at things that I'm not always completely as fair as I would like to be. A lot of people used to say when I was on the radio, even if they didn't agree with me, they would say, you know, I don't agree with you, but at least you're fair, because I would call out Democrats when they did something stupid. And right now, I think it's time to back off the protest. I don't think, you know, when we criticize people going to music shows and Trump rallies, I think those are dangerous activities. But I also think clustering thousands of people in Portland or Seattle or wherever is also equally dangerous. I think we need to respect this pandemic and back off those mass gatherings, because the point she brought out is the media very seldom cites any damage from these gatherings of people who are mostly on the left. It seems like they focus strictly on the Trump side of the House. Well, I'm telling you, a crowd of people mid-pandemic is dangerous regardless of their political affiliation. So I think it's time to rethink some of these protests. And I think particularly the one in Portland that's gone on so long, after 60 days, you're not getting anything done, and it invites people who don't even care about your cause to come and cause trouble. So really, I hope we start to see these things dissipate, because I think that they are doing the president more of a favor than anything. And I, once again, think they are themselves a health hazard. So that's my thoughts on that. Let's see. One more thing Debbie says. Boy, you got a lot to say today, Debbie. But she says that, and I agree with you, where the opening thing I played where the president is talking about possibly delaying the election and all that, and he's so upset about mail-in ballots, although he has used mail-in ballots in the past. Mike Pence has, his press secretary has. I mean, there's so much hypocrisy here. And so he said, already sowing seeds of distrust about the results of the election. Mm-hmm. And let's see, Robert says, could be Trump's son that he won't talk about. Not sure where that was a while back, so I'm not sure the exact point of reference. Julie says, I think Biden or Obama needs to come out and tell the right not to wear a mask. They would wear one tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I've said that before. You know, the way Trump came in and anything with Obama's name on it, he struck immediately. Why don't we just say Obama invented cancer? Then maybe Trump could make it illegal. But let's take a look at, let's see, where are we? Yes, speaking of that. We've cited these numerous deaths of people who have been skeptics about the degree of this disease. This was from the group, as I said. These are Republicans who voted for Trump last time, but definitely aren't voting for him this time. The group is called Republican Voters Against Trump, and this is their ad about what they call the Trump death chart.
Than anybody else.
Show me the death chart.
We have 32 deaths at this point. Other countries that are smaller countries have many, many deaths.
And I think right now we're heading at probably around 60.
70 or 60 or whatever the final number will be.
I used to say 65,000, and now I'm saying 80 or 90.
I think that at some point that's going to sort of just disappear.
95,000 people ultimately.
We'll be at 100,000, 110.
We've made a lot of really good decisions.
Yeah. No, I don't take responsibility at all.
It is what it is.
And what it is a damn shame. So let's remember, in the early days of this, he was saying it would just go away. And not only has it not gone away, it's only gotten worse. I don't have all the answers to solving this. I was talking to somebody last night about sending kids back to school. If I were a parent, I'd be very upset. I just think because we don't have a national policy, because these things are handled And I, by the way, I don't think we need a national policy as far as that goes, but I think there are, the CDC or whoever should definitely set some ground rules as to the best way a school could handle it. And I don't think trying to fill a classroom 5 days a week in person the way the president was talking about, and Nancy DeVos, I don't think that's the way to go. I think the some of the more creative ideas, as in staggering the school attendance, where half the kids would go Monday and Wednesday and the other half would go Tuesday and Thursday. And in the meantime, those who weren't at physical school would be online. That would put less people in the classrooms. And then, of course, the hygiene is very important. You got to have your social distancing. Are little kids going to wear masks? I don't know. I think that's going to be a tough one. But I think we've got to look at all the angles. But having said that, I just saw where a person, I mentioned this Tuesday as well, a professor was saying that a teacher told him that 50% of her students never logged in. She says she's not heard from them since March. So we're losing, we're falling behind academically. And this, you know, I don't know, if you just listen to talk radio or watch Fox News, you'll realize there's enough stupid people in America already. So we don't need more. And it's just kind of scary because I don't know the answer, but we need to proceed with caution. And we might be wise to look at how some other countries are handling this. They are going back to school in some European countries, but they're being very careful about how they do it. And I worry that we're not being careful enough. I worry that maybe in some cases federal funds, I don't want, you know, when the president's talking about withholding funds from schools that don't do it his way, well, that's the last thing you need to do. These schools need all the money they can get to implement whatever safety protocols might make it more, well, at least a better environment for your children. Because the idea that kids can't get sick from this, I think that's being debunked daily. I ran a story the other day about the 9-year-old girl who died in Florida. There are numerous kids who tested positive down in Texas. So I think we are still learning about this. So the president's flip-flop attitude, one day he's going with the science, the other day he is promoting some quack. I think that's dangerous. It's dangerous to the whole situation. People don't know what to believe anymore. Well, I think most of us rational folks, we listen to the experts, and we do understand that science, as you learn more, maybe what they said 3 months ago doesn't apply anymore. Maybe they've had time to say, well, wait a minute, we thought this only affected older people, when we realize now that kids can be victims as well. So it doesn't bother me that it changes. It bothers me that some of you who are stubborn about wearing your mask, or who think this whole thing is some political ploy that's going to disappear after the election, you frighten me more than the disease itself, because you are not only being ridiculous, you are enabling COVID-19 to spread. And I would think that's the last thing you'd want to do. Let's see, what's up next? Here's something else I find a little disturbing. I don't know a time... Well, let's be clear. The founders were very clear. This is not a theocracy. That is, this is not a country that's run by religion. For sure, ideas from the Judeo-Christian faith inspired the founding fathers. But also, that was the age of reason. They were inspired by wise men and even people from the past, as far back as Socrates and people like that. What I don't like is when you've got Ralph Reed, who, by the way, was once a presidential candidate himself. Ralph Reed, and I forgot the organization he's with, but this is from a site called Dead State. And he seems to be, he says Trump has to win again so Christians can stay in control. I don't know a time when they haven't been, though. Here's my point. The people who say we're a Christian nation, that's inaccurate. As I said, we're not a theocracy. This is a secular country. Our founding document is not the Bible or the Quran. It is the Constitution. And furthermore, we may well be a nation that is predominantly Christian, but we are not a Christian nation. And I know it seems like I'm splitting hairs there, but I, as I said, we are not a theocracy. But listen to what Mr. Reed has to say.
Now, we got a big job to do in the next 100 days. Let's go out and do it, not just to reelect him, but to glorify God and make sure that Christians are the head and not the tail and the top and not the bottom of our political system. Now, we got a big job to do.
That went quick, didn't it? All right. Yeah, I forgot how short that clip was. But, yeah, so I, you know, when have Christians been the tail of anything? I mean, but just because there's, you know, there's an occasion, nobody's telling you, you know, and some of their big issues, nobody's telling you you have to marry a person of the same sex if you don't want to. But in a secular country, that's why I knew the Supreme Court was going to rule like it did on same-sex marriage, because there's no, there may be religious reasons, but there's no legal reason that two people who care about each other, regardless of their sex, shouldn't be able to be with the person they want to be with, shouldn't be able to be at the deathbed of that person because they count in that person's life. So that's what the Supreme Court decided. But guess what? If you don't want to date someone of the same sex, you don't have to. If you don't want to have an abortion, don't have an abortion. I just think that these people are trying to remold this country to suit their, when, you know, when they talk about religious freedom, they're not talking about Islam. They're not talking about the Hindus or people like that. They're not talking about anybody but themselves. They want religious freedom, that is the freedom of their particular faith, to dominate. And that's not what this country is about. And that's why there's expressly no state religion in the United States. So that bothers me a little bit. But what else bothers me is that the president has even retweeted some stuff from these folks. And
that's the next one I have there.
The Q,
is there something else?
Where was that Q, the QAnon? That one's not there?
I'll have to look for it. I don't
that's
know
all right. It's we don't necessarily have to go there. But anyway... Sometimes I could have sworn I sent that clip. I will check in a minute. But anyway, the bottom line is this. Doesn't it bother you that people are trying to do this? Because to me, it's just like if the Amish want to ride in buggies instead of cars, go for it. But I don't think I'm going to hell for riding in an air-conditioned car. So leave me alone. You do your thing, pal.
I think I got it now.
Okay, yeah, all right, he did find it.
Yeah, let me get it queued up real
okay.
quick. Okay,
this is, I find this very disturbing. There is a group called QAnon, that is a capital Q and then capital A, Anon. And they are actually having some progress running candidates. And I'm telling you, these guys are conspiracy kooks. Look into some of the things they believe. In fact, you can just listen to some of the comments here and you'll get an idea what they're about. And the president has retweeted them. That's the other thing. This president, I've never seen a president who has perpetuated conspiracies more than this man. And I think it's very dangerous when the most powerful man in the world is spreading conspiracy theories. But he is. But take a look at, in case you're just hearing about them for the first time, QAnon.
Out. And I think we have the president to do it.
Fictitious online conspiracy
situation in Washington.
Theory today from the man who says he started shooting inside a DC pizza shop after hearing internet rumors about a child sex trafficking ring inside.
Bill Clinton got a firing squad.
Bill Clinton? Is he dead?
Yeah, bullet in the back.
Well, I'm big time Q.
Good. So tell me about Q.
Oh, you want to hear about
Q? Yeah.
It's supposed to be a conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
It's not.
Woo!
It's a reality beyond what you can imagine.
Thank you.
plan. Trust the plan. The Great Awakening.
The Q drops give like breadcrumbs, and then people research it and share the information. Can there be before it becomes mathematically impossible?
Yeah. What's your opinion?
No, honestly, everything that I've heard of Q, I hope that this is real, because it only means America is getting stronger and better. If this is real, then it could be really great for our country.
I don't know how much you guys know about Q. Q is a patriot. We know that for sure. So many Americans are blind, and when they hear these stories about pedophiles and they hear these stories about satanic worship, they don't want to believe it's true. They just don't.
You know, I hate to... In the U.S., we're dealing with what I'll call globalists. Some call it the deep state, dark money. I'll explain a little bit more about that. I am so influential, and I am such a threat to them.
You consider yourself someone who believes in Q and QAnon?
I believe that there's a very strong probability / possibility that Q is a real group of people, military intelligence, working with President Trump. Because sometimes people go, well, there's no proof of Q, and I'm going, there's no proof of Jesus either. And I'm a Christian, so.
Yeah, doesn't that scare you a little bit? That your fellow Americans, and by the way, last time I looked, they had over 250,000 followers. They're out there. They have various sites. I don't know if you could just go on Facebook or Twitter and just put in QAnon, but this should be very disturbing. You've got 60 people running for office. You've got a couple of these people even won primaries. So this is a very dangerous movement, I believe. And if you, I don't know if you noticed the graphic there. They started on a social media site, kind of a dark social media site called 4chan. And it's definitely, they have some of the wackiest conspiracy theories and a lot of violent talk, a lot of racist talk. So that's what we've got going on in the background. But enough heaviness, folks. Let's leave on a light note. This is from a year ago. And by the way, I think this is probably, I'm a big fan of Randy Rainbow and always like to leave on a high note. And this was about a year ago, but it's still pretty relevant. And for those of you who are Trump supporters, I dedicate this one to you.
Is White Nationalist Weekly Centerfold and President of the United States, Donald Jessica Trump. Mr. President, you have a long history of using race and ethnicity as a political wedge, but it seems you have now gone full Archie Bunker.
And yet I won, and I'll win again.
Calm down, bitch. Your Twitter attacks on four Democratic congresswomen of color incited xenophobic chants at a rally you recently held.
It's very sad.
Well, what's really sad is that your poll numbers seem to have gone up, and, you know, you still have a strong support system. I mean, who the hell are these people?
If you look at Twitter, I have millions and millions of people on Twitter.
Ariana Grande has more.
And I never get good press. I mean, I haven't had a good story. I used to get the best press of the world. You remember the old days when I was an entrepreneur. I used to get great press. Now I get... because of what I stand for, represent.
Intolerance, bigotry, and the all-day breakfast menu at McDonald's?
And nobody's ever had, I think, 93%. It came out the other day, 93%. And I'm talking about stories that should be good, they make them bad, or...
You're freaking crazy. Inhuman, merciless, extreme, and unfiltered. Oh, and also lazy. Yeah. So I can't help but be just slightly bewildered.
And I'll win again.
That your followers stick with you, whatever the hell you do. No matter how hard you screw them, they won't quit. Girl, your presidency's a mess. Your policies are BS, but they let you get away with it. Cause they're suckers for you. I guess it pays to be conniving and cunning. Cause they're suckers for you. Suckers for all of the criminals.
shameworthy things that you do. They're suckers for you.
I'm glad that the president said what he said.
They've all been blinded. They think it's fine that you take climate change lightly. And they don't mind it. And that you have phone sex with Sean Hannity nightly. They love your racist, sexist chants, your monosyllabic rants. If you can't keep it in your pants, it's no big deal. You validate their hate and fears, and it's music to their white ears. And then they say, hey, he's just being real. Cause the suckers fool you. When you say stupid things, they rush to explain them. Cause the suckers for you. Yeah, they should just shut up and go back where they came from. Atco, New Jersey. And all the subliminal race baiting bullshit you do. So they're suckers for you. And as we look ahead to 2020, I'm joined now by a very special guest, Senator Lindsey Graham, circa 2015. LG, what's your take on Donald Trump and the rhetoric he uses to rile his base?
The way he is conducting himself is contrary to the values I hold as a Republican, and I think most of us accept as a nation. And I will not be part of this.
Uh-huh. And if you'll excuse me, Senator, I'd now like to welcome a very special guest, Senator from South Carolina and Patti LuPone enthusiast, present-day Lindsey Graham.
Thank you.
Lindsey, what is your take on Donald Trump's racist rhetoric?
I think the president did a fabulous job of talking about this problem. He did it in a smart way, in a compassionate way. Mr. President, you're the right guy at the right time. You can do it. Nobody else has been able to do it, and I want to help you.
So awkward. They love your incoherent tweets, the hamburgers that you eat. They worship down at your feet like sewer rats. You could kick puppies till they cried, or make Kim Jong on your bride, and they'd all still rock their MAGA hats. Cause they're suckers for you. And all the empty broken promises you made, they're just suckers for you. You got them thirsty and they're drinking your Kool-Aid. Girl, they're suckers for all the despicable things that you're putting us through. Us through, us through.
Fuck you.
Because they're suckers for you.
It's a terrible thing that's taking place.
They're all suckers for you. Yeah, they're suckers for you.
And I'll win again.
Calm down, bitch.
I think that's, by the way, the song there, it is Sucker for You, the Jonas Brothers. But I got to admit, I listened to a lot of stuff trying to get this show together. And that was the first one that I played about three times and couldn't get it out of my head. I mean, I was dancing, literally. So anyway, by the way, once again, I said one more apology for my little, we finally figured out how to monitor the stuff without it driving me crazy. But so excuse the earlier little glitches, but I hope we learned something here today. And by the way, Julie says she's got a relative that is full on Q, and isn't that scary? Yeah, look up QAnon, like as in, well, Q, capital A, N-O-N. And this is a force to be reckoned with, and it's a scary force. And let's talk about COVID-19. Look where we are with that. Prominent people are starting to lose their lives because they're too stubborn to wear a mask. I think historians will look back at this and wonder, what was the big deal? A lot of this didn't have to happen. But we'll talk about more next week. Have a good weekend, folks. I know this is only Thursday, but try to have a good weekend despite the fact of living under a pandemic. But you take care of yourself because, as I always say, we're not all in this together. There's a bunch of stupid people out there that are endangering us. So watch yourself and watch the other folks, too. Joe, thank you for what you always do.
Absolutely.
And I'm Mo Ray saying, as I always do, keep your eyes on the prize.